ראש חודש מנחם אב, תופים פי דלת הרב אושר בשביל שיטה.
Might be better without the mic. For everyone's sake. Huh? Do you want whatever you want?
It's on your lapel.
Looks good. Where's it go?
On your lapel anyway, yeah.
What about that? Okay, that. Everyone can hear me? Yeah? Okay. Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, very interesting. You see that Chazal, something's backwards, unless it's only me here, because the whole concept of Tisha B'Av is about Avelus, yet when you, if someone, Chas Shalom, loses someone and they become an Avel, so the idea is like this. The first, let's say, day is certain restrictions of Avelus, then 7 days, then till the end of the 30 days, and then you get to the end of the year, 11 months, whatever it is, and then you slowly wean yourself out of being a realist and you have to get on with your life. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, it's the other way around. It comes to Tisha B'Av 3 weeks before, the Gemara tells us, already as Av comes in, you start being a little bit more aware of what's going to be approaching, and we start taking on little bits here and there, and then if you're Ashkenazi, Sephardim, slight differences, but then as you're approaching Tisha B'Av a week before, 9 days before, it's a little bit more, and then Tisha B'Av comes along and it's like, boom, punches you right in the face, you're not ready for it. You're not washing, it's almost like Yom Kippur. And it's backwards, because really the Maaseh, it's about Avelus. So we should start from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and then wean our way out of it. Chazal accept the fact that people have emotional needs. Chazal also accept the fact that people need to deal with emotional needs. So you can't say, everyone should mourn for the Beis HaMikdash however they see fit. So one person walks around all day with a stone in his shoe and the other person doesn't eat for a week. You have to have some type of achdus and klal yisrael, people doing the same thing. But at the same time, Chazal want us to be aware of emotional needs and regulations. The problem is, which I think is obvious here, is chas v'shalom, someone becomes an avel, they don't really need to be told, be sad. You're now commanded to be sad. Of course I'm sad. I just lost someone who I've spent half my life with. So Chazal come along and tell you, listen, you have to be sad now, but you have to do it in the correct way. And this is the correct manifestation of what the Torah expects sadness to look like. You have a bit of leeway here or there, but Lamaisa, this is a healthy outlook of sadness, and then we're going to wean you off it as we get more away from the actual the death. With Tisha B'Av, the problem is what, Rabbi Isai? No one really cares. I mean, we care, in our brains we care. We care, but in our hearts, we don't really understand what Beis HaMikdash was. Thousands of years ago. It's very, very difficult. So Chazal have a completely different job. The job of Chazal with Tisha B'Av is not when someone loses someone and they have to get them away from Avelus. You lost someone close to you. Okay, let's sit shiva. Let's, at the funeral, sit shiva. Shloishim, and then the year, and then Yortzeit once a year to remember it, and then that's, and apart from that, you need to get on with your life. Tisha B'Av is going to be different. If they say to you, listen, when Tisha B'Av comes along, you need to be sad. Tisha B'Av will come along, but Tisha B'Av, oh, Beis HaMikdash, I never went there, where's that? It's on TripAdvisor. People don't understand. So therefore, Chazal had to come along, and they had to kind of build you up for the Avelus itself, and then when it ends, you can now get on with your life. You see, it's flipped. It's a travesty, but at the end of the day, I'm going to say a true story here that's very, very, very sad, but it's true. First of all, we don't understand the Beis HaMikdash. That's okay. Because as long as you know you don't understand, that's okay. Maybe Gedolei Yisrael, maybe some people in this room do connect to it more, but no one's that old. But I'm saying, myself, it's difficult to relate to. About 6 years ago, I went to a shiva house. This is a true story. I don't want to say who it was, I don't think it's appropriate. I went to a shiva house, someone, a young man who was nifta, with a family. I went to a shiva house, and as I was walking in, there's a little boy, maybe like 3 years old, you know what they do, in the front garden, and the shiva house was packed. And he was digging things. I said to him, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for worms. I've got a cup, and I put all the worms in a cup. I had 3-year-olds do. And I said to him, oh, okay, lovely. Then I went inside, and I started, I think it was Maariv. And after Maariv, I was sitting around, people were speaking to people. And I realized the little boy outside was the son of the father who was obviously Nifta, who was a young man. Now, it's a very, very sad story. But Lamaisa, he'd lost his father. All the older kids were obviously sitting shiver, crying, with their shirts torn. And this little 3-year-old boy sitting outside playing with worms. Now, it's a travesty. But that kid couldn't relate to what it means to lose someone who's close to you. He doesn't understand. And as he gets older, and the Yahrzeit will pass every year, and all the family will be devastated, they'll be sharing stories. Do you remember Daddy used to do this? Remember Daddy used to do that? Remember what the Shabbos table was like? Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And the 3-year-old son, maybe he won't remember much. So he's going to need that boost. He's going to need that boost of what Daddy was like. And that's Tisha B'Av to us in our generation. We're lacking to understand that connection to Chazal. There's many, many, many minhagim we're going to cover where Chazal are taking us on a journey into getting to Tisha B'Av on the right frame of mind. Now, the first step here is that none of these minhagim/halachas are to cause you pain. We're not into that. They're to put you in the right frame of mind. So therefore, we all know there's a famous Mishnah in Brachos. I think it's 2 Mishnahs actually. The main one is this one. The Mishnah in Brachos talks about Rabban Gamliel. And it says, well, Rabban Gamliel's wife was Nifteres when she died. So there's a halacha, minhag halacha, let's call it halacha. I'm going to call minhag halacha today, but really we know that a lot of this is a lot of leeway. There's a halacha if someone loses someone that they shouldn't wash or whatever else. For a certain amount of time. Rabban Gamliel, the Talmidim, came up to him. He said, what are you doing, Rabban Gamliel? Rebbe, you washed the night that your wife was Nefaris. You washed, you bathed. He said, it's Rabban Gamliel, one of the Tanayim. He says to them, listen. He said, I'm sensitive. Meaning what? Chazal explain. To normal people, the idea of not washing when they're in a velus is not to cause you suffering and pain. You will stink and you will... That's not the idea. The idea is that my mind is so preoccupied with where in a velus, in sorting things out for the funeral and everything else, I don't have the headspace to start now having a nice shower and a nice bath and going to the bathhouse and everything else. Therefore, Rabban Gamliel said, no, for me that's not appropriate. Because for me, I'm already there. And if I start now not washing, it's going to cause me actual pain. And that's not what Chazal want. There's a big difference between not having pleasure and causing someone pain. The other one understands? If you have a nice geschmack a meal, and I say to you, listen, don't have dessert. So most people, when they don't have dessert, they're not going to be in pain. Maybe I would, but they're not going to be in pain. They're going to just not have the pleasure of having dessert. But if I say to you, don't eat, that's causing you pain. Everyone sees the difference? I mean, it doesn't really need so much explanation. So all of these minhagim, all of these halachas of Tisha B'Av, leading up to Tisha B'Av itself, are not there to cause you pain. And there's going to be a lot of ramifications to that in what you're allowed to do and how lenient you can be. The first thing I'm going to say also for Hakdama quickly is there's a big difference here between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. I'm going to say, Sfardim, we're talking here, everything we're going to discuss, sometimes they're slightly lenient, sometimes more machmeh, all of the, call them Isurim, are going to start the week of Tisha B'Av itself. Right, that's why they say Slichus all the way in Elul. And when it comes to Ashkenazim, they're only going to start, that was a joke, they're only going to start, for the kidneys, they're only going to start, the Ashkenazim are only going to start 9 days before Av. Okay, Tisha B'Av, right. But 9 before Tisha B'Av, so that's going to be today, Rosh Chodesh. Now, that's the main differences. The first thing we're going to cover is one I'm sure everyone's very excited about. Okay, when it comes to washing, again, a lot of this is minhag. I'm going to go try and take a middle ground. Please don't shout at me. Here we go. Chazal themselves in the Gemara, Chazal itself only forbade washing on Tisha B'Av itself. Just like on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash. So too on Tisha B'Av, Chazal said you shouldn't wash. The Rishonim come along, and the Rishonim add a Chumrah. They said, listen, we don't even wash leading up to Tisha B'Av. So again, the Sfardim don't wash from the week of Tisha B'Av itself. And the Ashkenazim took on not to wash from Rosh Chodesh all the way to Tisha B'Av. Now the truth is, it's a bit tricky here, because when you actually look at the basic halakhah, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Mishnah Berurah, there's not much wiggle room. You just basically can't wash. That's it, finished. Can't really wash. They bring maybe on Erev Shabbos, the Ramah brings maybe on Erev Shabbos, something cold, your hands and your feet and everything. But Lamaisa, there's not much wiggle room to work with this washing inyan. However, the Aruch HaShulchan, again, comes along, same kind of generation as the Mishnah Berurah. He comes along and he points out a heter. And he says like this, The whole idea here, similar to what I was saying earlier, the whole idea of not washing has nothing to do with causing you pain. It has to do with removing pleasure. I mean, you shouldn't enjoy washing. The idea of washing should be, this is going to schmuck a hot shower, I'm going to schmooze in the mikvah for 4 hours. That's not what Chazal want. Chazal wanted that you should be, you're focusing on the idea of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, and having you have a geschmack, a shower and washing, that's going to take that away. He already brings, in his generation, that the minhag was, if someone was dirty, if someone felt a bit uncomfortable, they were already allowed to wash. Now we're going to say, that has to obviously be the bare minimum. You can't wake up in the morning and, you know, let's say someone goes for a run. Perfect example. Someone's told by a doctor, you need to go for a run. They go for a run, they're schwitzing, they get home, 20, half an hour shower, something, boiling hot water. That's not what he would have in mind, but whatever you need, the bare minimum to get rid of what the shits is going to be mutter. But any person to his own has to lead with his own chokhmah here. What's this based on? How come the Aruch HaShulchan came along and could say this? Chazal said, don't wash on Tisha B'Av. The Rishonim took on, don't even wash at all, leading up to it. So what's this based on? So I saw a svara like this, that the Shulchan Aruch brings by Hilchos Yom Kippur. We know on Yom Kippur, there are different things you're not allowed to do. One of them is you're not allowed to wash. However, are you ever allowed to wash on Yom Kippur? The answer is, yeah. If you're a Kohen, you're allowed to wash your hands before duchening. Other people are allowed to wash their hands if they get, the Shulchan Aruch brings, they get soiled, they get dirty, they're also allowed to wash their hands. What's that based on? What's that based on? Because, what? Yeah, fingertips. Okay, fine. But if they get dirty, the Mechaber brings, if they get dirty, if anyone gets schwitzy on Yom Kippur, it could be they can even wash it off. So now, many Rishonim hold washing on Yom Kippur could even be an Issa D'Oraisa, or at least it's going to be an Issa D'Rabbanan. So how come on Yom Kippur, once I'm not allowed to wash, if I get a bit dirty, I am allowed? So therefore, the Mishnah Brura learns out that you see that it's only when the washing is done for pleasure that Chazal forbade it, or the Torah forbade it. When the washing is done to remove pain, that's going to be allowed. And you learn it from Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur is from the Torah itself. And Tisha B'Av is only a Dorabonon. So therefore, we learn out that it's going to be at least the same din. If Yom Kippur, if I'm schwitzing, I can have a little bit of a wash, then it's dirty and Tisha B'Av I can. Now, the Mishnah Brura brings this. However, he says, you shouldn't rely on it for Yom Kippur. Shouldn't rely on it. And he says, only someone who's an istinist, only someone who's extremely sensitive, should allow themselves to wash if they feel uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. Today, Lamaisa, we don't do it. But on Tisha B'Av itself, certainly leading up to Tisha B'Av, when it's only a minhag anyway, if someone's uncomfortable, it seems that they would be able to wash in the most minimal way possible. Ashkenazim, 9 days before this, the Yisroel would start. Sfardim, only the week of Tisha B'Av itself. Now, again, the poiskim bring down, it's only going to be the bare minimum that you can stand. So you can't just stomazoi, say, once I need a shower, I'm going to have a big geschmack shower. It needs to be, again, according to the mainstream poiskim, probably cold is better, probably if you need soap, don't need soap, whatever the bare minimum is, that's what you need to go for, and only if it's done to alleviate pain, not because you need it to, you know, have a relaxing time and da da da. Now, the question arises, so I want to put a quick hakdama here, there are poiskim who are machmir across the board here. There are poiskim in Eretz Yisrael especially who are machmir across the board, and they don't like the idea of showering unless it's serious causing you pain. But many poiskim, chutz lo'etz especially, tend to be more lenient in these things, and as far as it's going to be, like I said, with Yom Kippur, and the idea is to alleviate pain rather than to cause pleasure. Okay, the shaila becomes like this. What if the pain is to someone else? What if you don't mind? I don't mind walking around. I say, I couldn't care less. Everyone leaves me alone. Yeah, I get a nice big geschmack of place in Shul. I sit down, no one sits on my table. But it's lovely. I won't shower for a couple of 9 days in Tisha B'Av, and people will stay away from me, geschmack. However, so how does that work? So is it going on me as a person, my uncomfortableness, or is it going on everyone else? It's an interesting question. So do you have to worry about the tzibbur? I mean, if I'm not bothered right now about not showering, but other people are bothered, I'm sure you can use your imagination, are you then allowed to be soymich on the heterim of washing off what needs to be washed? So they bring this down, and the poiskim say like this. Nowadays, we live in a very, very different society. You've got to understand, in times of Chazal, the sewage systems were in between the houses. Even in the villages in Europe a few hundred years ago, maybe 1,000 years ago, they would take the sewage, there was no indoor piping, they would bury it in the field. It's a different mitzvah. So therefore, today, people are much more sensitive to things like smells, people are much more sensitive to the aromas around them, to personal hygiene. Therefore, it seems to be that if you're bothering other people, It could either be a chil Hashem. Again, that's going to be a shaila, how that would affect if you're working with goyim and things like that, if it's a chil Hashem, or if it's going to be kovod abrius, that a tamid chacham or even a ben Torah shouldn't be walking around looking a bit shvach. So some people want to say, if everyone looks like that and everyone knows, it's okay, but the Maya said there's room to be makel here, but if it doesn't bother you, but it does bother everyone else, that could also apply to family as well. Okay, the only time when we're kind of makel here, across the board, about washing, when everyone's kind of makel is, what was I? Okay, one is for a mitzvah. What would that, mikvah or mitzvah? What would be an example? For who? Okay, I'm not going into that. Fine. So, as a parentheses here, all these dinim that we're going into today for noshim is mutter legamrei. Yeah, but we're only here about hilchos for the men. When it comes to men, what's a mitzvah, or let's say a hechsher mitzvah could be a kovod Shabbos. Yeah, kovod Shabbos, erev Shabbos. So erev Shabbos already, the poiskim come along and they make all. However, again, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah don't really make such a massive enough kamina. They're kind of like, yeah, you want to take some cold water. Ramah says maybe you can wash your head with hot water. But again, the poiskim of our generation come along and with the minhag ha'olam is to be makel. And the reason why we're able to be makel is like this. Again, we're going to rely on the fact that many people are more sensitive. The Arizal already brings about tasting food on Erev Shabbos before Shabbos comes in. Let's say someone's making chicken soup or making cholent. Are you allowed to taste that cholent on, let's say, before Shabbos comes in? Interesting shaila. So the Arizal used to tell people, and I think the place can actually go like this, that it's called Kovod Shabbos. Once you're trying food, so that's cool, you're doing it like Kovod Shabbos. You want the food to be nice for Shabbos, and it could be it's interlinked. I mean, I don't know what you should do, maybe ask a Shaila, but there are poiskim who are makel, and the same svara is going to come into Erev Shabbos. If you go into Erev Shabbos feeling shitzy and not into it, that's not Kovod Shabbos. And also, again, we're more sensitive, so it's Kovod Shabbos. And also, it could be that Chazal themselves, and it seems from the Gemara this way, that when it came to Erev Shabbos, we were more makel, because they weren't makabel, the minhagim and the halachas, let's say on Erev Shabbos. So washing on Erev Shabbos, according to many opinions, are going to be mutter. There is going to be a breadth here. The Ashken, let's go from the top down. Not in terms of washing, but in terms of the hot being using hot water and soap and things like that. The Svadim and Chassidim here, stop me if I'm wrong, seem to be holding, just having, you have a normal shower Erev Shabbos. Yeah? Seems to be that's the minhag. If it's not, then I apologise. But that seems to be what I've asked a couple of people. It seems to be, and it's based on what we said. Ashkenazim, it seems a bit of a... It seems a bit lukewarm. No pun intended. It seems to be lukewarm. As in, get one of these. So you ask a shy, what does that mean, right? So the Maisa, it seems... kind of the bare minimum you can do. So many Ashkenazim want to hold lukewarm, with soap, without soap. But I did speak to people who just said the general minhag is to be makel and have a normal shower of Shabbos. I'm going to just leave it there. Whatever the minhag is, you have what to rely on. You mentioned the mikveh. Yeah? The mikveh for men is an interesting shaila. Now, I want to just say, I'm very aware of where I'm standing. I'm in MH. So I have to be careful. I don't want to come between a chassid and his mikveh. So there, because it's dangerous. So therefore, what I would say is like this. There's many, many, many shitters that are makel about mikvahs. There's going to a mikveh, someone who always goes to mikveh, someone who only goes there on Shabbos. There is what to be soimichon. Some people say it's better if it's cold. Again, I think the minhag ha'olam is to be makel even for warm. I think the chassidim even go in hot. They say it's a part of the mitzvah, a part of becoming taharas. There are inyanim here. I want to explain. Often in Chazal, you'll see in Beitza, the Mishnayos a lot, that if you start not allowing things because of a minhag, we're worried that the people will stop doing the right thing. So again, if you start telling everyone you can only go in a cold mikveh, so maybe they'll stop going. It's difficult for people. So again, we don't want to cause them sorrows. So many, many Chassidim, I think Litvak as well, I don't know exactly, a makel warm mikveh seems to be okay. Even a hot mikveh for many Chassidim seems to be okay. Svadim as well. So it seems that we're pretty makel there. I did see in the poiskim this svara though. One, again, the pleasure is a problem. You shouldn't be taking pleasure from this. So therefore, Raboisai, you're not allowed to schmooze. When you're in the mikveh for like half an hour, you're getting all the latest stock prices which have dropped apparently, and all this I don't know, because I wasn't in the shmooze. Yeah, I'm thinking all these latest in yanim, you're not allowed to start schmoozing in the mikveh, because there it's going to be for pleasure, unless the person next to you really don't enjoy talking to, then it could be actually an oisik in getting ready for Tisha B'Av, depending on who it is. Now, There is a joke here, right? You get all the news in the mikvah. I'm sure you've heard this before. Yeah, you know Napoleon one? We'll do it. We'll do it in 20 seconds. I think the chief rabbi said it at Steen Court. Yeah, Napoleon, he's worried that the Yidden are going to make a revolt against the French the empire. So he asked one of his advisors, I'm worried about the Yidden, what they're up to. So he says, listen, he says everything. If you want to know what's going on in the Yiddish world, go to the mikvah. So Napoleon learns the language, whatever it was, some kind of Yiddish dialect, no idea. And French, and he walks down to the mikvah dressed as a Yidden, he's a fake beard and whatever else. And he gets to the entrance, and he pays his fee, and the man at the mikveh entrance says to him, oh, how can I help you? I don't recognize you. He says, oh, I'd like to come to the mikveh. I'm just visiting. I'm a Yid from the... And he says to him, oh, it's a very busy day today. Napoleon says, why is it a busy day? You didn't hear Napoleon's coming to the mikveh. Right, so, Lemaisa, any news you need, you get from the mikveh. However, in these times, it should be an in and out. And that's really what the poskim seem to bring. Again, if the minhag's not like that, then we'll let it go. Showering at the mikveh is an interesting one. This is brought in the poskim as well. If you always shower, let's say during the 9 days, or you're a sensitive person, and you go in the mikveh, so are you allowed to have a shower afterwards? Let's assume they're unlocked. Some poskim don't like it, because they bring down that it's a bit disrespectful to the general minhag olam. Some, I don't know, so I just think it's something to be aware of. I don't know whether you can have a shower after Erev Shabbos, maybe it'll be okay, according to what we said, but a general shower could be problematic if it's at the mikveh, maybe at home or whatever. Some, the truth is anyway, a lot of, I think it's Chabad minhag anyway, they're like Abba Chassidim, not to shower after the mikveh, because they want to keep the water on themselves, so there it's not going to be no get anyway. Yeah. Yes, so that's an interesting shaila general. There's an interesting shaila. There's a shaila in general, which is what happens if you're told to do something that goes against halacha, or it goes against, let's say, a minhag. So if it goes against halacha, then certainly you basically don't have to listen, unless there's what to be soimichon that it's not the halacha. So if they say to you, let's say, there's a law that it goes against halacha, so it's normal. I can't think of a good example now, but therefore you wouldn't have to listen. If it's a minhag, as in the minhag is not to shower, and the minhag is to go to the mikveh, and the minhag is this, and the minhag is that, and they own the mikveh, and they're telling you, listen, there's 10 mikvehs in town, and they're all equally beautiful, and therefore we're telling you don't have a shower. So you don't really have to go there. So I think it's mutter. No, I don't think they should do it, but lamaisa, it could be it's mutter, I don't know. But certainly if someone wants to be machmir on themselves, not causing suffering, it should be cold, and limb by limb is always best as well. What I would say, however, is it's more of a shaila afterwards. Let's say you've got a mikveh where people don't shower before because it's the 9 days. And you go in and it's like, you know, a cholent. You're like, and as you get out, you're in pain. So are you going to have to put yourself in a makom sakana where you're getting out of the mikveh and now you need a shower? You didn't need one before. So there, it's going to be an interesting shaila. There, again, it's going to be a problem to use their showers unless people are lenient and it's not going to bother people. But yeah, so that's going to be interesting, Shaila, what you asked. It's a good Shaila. I think the Maisa, it'll be okay because you could just go somewhere else. The question is, if you pay to go in, if you pay to go in and then they tell you you can't have a shower, and the mikveh's cold and it's dirty because no one else has showered, so is that a mechus tos? Are you allowed now to go and get your money back? So again, all of these Shailas are going to be more choshen mishpat. Okay. Anyway, I want to just say that none of these mikvehs make any money, and the people are all being funded, paying too much. So I want to just, yeah. Okay, let's go very quickly. Okay, clothes during the 9 days. This is from the Shas now. The Gemara already said you shouldn't be laundering clothes during the leading up to Tisha B'Av. So therefore, I'm going to be a bit more machmir, many people machmir here. There is a kula here, which is like this. If the clothes have been worn before, many of us know that's not called freshly laundered. So you've got a choice, either wear them yesterday, oops, yeah. If you didn't wear them yesterday, some poiskim are holding you could wear them on Shabbos. Again, that's based on the fact that we allow you to wear freshly clothes on Shabbos, which again is a shaila, but the maisa we make all with that. The problem is that if you wore them yesterday, so, you know, I remember, you know, if you wore them yesterday, so you're going to wear like 10 shirts for 2 minutes, I don't know if that does much. If you, there is an Eitz HaTovah, which I think, if you just wear them for 30 seconds at your Friday night meal, you're done, bang, right? Whoever said wear white shirts, I have a tie on, right? Come down, Friday night meal, 30 seconds, boom, fine. Next one, boom, yeah. So a kid on your lap, boom, yeah. So therefore, that would do it. But most people hold that you wear it for 20 minutes, half an hour. Now it's not negeya, but that would be considered not freshly laundered. Step two, if you didn't do that, there's going to be, wear it on Shabbos, take it off, wear it. The problem with wearing it on Shabbos is what, Rabbi Yisai? Chana. You're planning for the week. Now, some poiskim hold, and that's why some poiskim don't like it. Some poiskim hold, it's only called planning for the week if it's nikah, it's obvious. If it's obvious what you're doing is for the week. Like on Shavuos, if you have a shluf, Shavuos afternoon, because you're going to Erev Shavuos, which is Shabbos, you have a shluf in the afternoon, because you want to stay up all night learning. So as long as you don't say, I'm now having a shluf, l'shem yuch, as long as you don't do that, and it doesn't look obvious, it's mutter. So if on Shabbos, you start going in your cupboard and you go, put the first one on, one, two, three, four, next one, one, two, that looks a bit odd. But if you're doing it in a way that's not obvious, it could be as mutter. Again, Hachana is a problem. Some people allow Hachana if it is not a malacha. Here it's not a malacha. If it's not obvious, maybe here it's not obvious. So therefore, there is that some people are makel that way. Some people are makel. Pardon? Why not? You want if you want on Shabbos?
That's obvious.
Oh, it's obvious. Oh, it's interesting. If it's obviously not Shabbos clothes. Okay, that's interesting. That's actually gonna be brought up in about 1 minute. That's interesting what you just said, actually. I'm going to get to that in 2 seconds. Now, many poiskim are makel by clothes that absorb sweat. So when you've got things like vests, underwear, socks, those clothes, they don't bring any kind of simcha or joy when you wear them. Right, again, they're just alleviating pain. So therefore, most people, when they buy new socks, are not particularly excited. If you are, then I'm a bit worried. But if you buy new socks, underwear, vests, things like that, people are not particularly excited. They're not giving you pleasure. Therefore, we weren't makabel ourselves to worry too much about them. Some people are machmir, again. Some people are makel legumre, just wear fresh ones. Some people say you could literally put them on the floor, pick them up, whatever it is. But the maisa, there's many poiskim who are makel by things that absorb sweat. Now, the ramah brings down an interesting kula. The Ramah brings by a bris miller and everything like that, so he brings a certain heterim for, let's say, the Baal Simchas, I'm not, the Moyo and the father and the mother, to wear Shabbos clothes. However, during the 9 days. However, during Shabbos himself, he doesn't bring it. He says, by Shabbos, you can wear your Shabbos shirt. Yeah, but normal weekday clothes, the Ramah seems to bring. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention anything at all. Some people learn out, the Mishnah Berurah learns, that why does the Ramah say this? Because the shirt is only used to absorb sweat. So since a shirt is only, it's only there to absorb sweat, the Ramah's relying on the poiskim who hold that that's mutter, because it's not something that gives proper simcha. However, the Oruch HaShulchan says, the reason why the Ramah doesn't like Shabbos clothes being changed in the 9 days, and you should wear your normal weekday clothes, is because there was no distinction in his times between Shabbos clothes and normal clothes. They looked very similar. Therefore, minus Kamina, what's the difference? You might as well wear your weekday clothes. Says the Oruch HaShulchan, even according to the Ramah, nowadays, where there's a massive difference between Shabbos clothes and normal clothes, like you mentioned, even if it's not the quality, but just in what people wear, let's say a strimal and things like that, whatever it is, therefore, it could be even the Ramah would be makel to wear Shabbos clothes, and the general minhag is to wear Shabbos clothes, and that's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, even by the Vilna Goyim himself, they used to say in Vilna, they used to wear Shabbos clothes. I'll just finish, another 2 minutes, very, very interesting. Freshly laundered Shabbos clothes, again, many are makel. For the same reason, we weren't a couple to be machmen that inyan Shabbos itself. That you shouldn't have public signs of mourning. Okay, so therefore many are makel there. Havdalah. I'm going to try and do this in about 2 minutes. I could give a whole shit on this. The problem is you can't have wine during the 9 days, or let's say the week of Tisha B'Av. So therefore, what about Havdalah? So again, on Shabbos you don't have a problem with Kiddush because Shabbos we take away all the Isurim, all the Minhagim, all the Halachas. But what about Havdalah? Is that called a part of Shabbos? Or is it called now a weekday? So, there's a massive, massive machloikis here, what to do. We're going to start with the most cooler one. The Shulchan Aruch says just use wine like normal. Because we didn't accept upon ourselves not to use wine when it comes to mitzvahs, maybe it's also a part of Shabbos. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch is make or just use wine. The Chazon Ish, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shmuel Orbach, they also bring the same. The Maya say, if you always use wine. You don't have anything to worry about, it's fine. The Ramah in Darche Moshe, which he also brings, it's fine, no problem at all. However, he brings an Orach Chaim, when he's talking about the Shulchan Aruch, when he's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch itself, he says it's better to give the wine to a child. And the Mishnah Berurah comes along and says, well, how does that work? Why is that better? Because if you think about it, the idea of giving it to a child is a child who is Yegi Lechinuch, a child who's now reached the age that he has to make brochas and everything like that, so you can might see him in a brocha. Yes, you'll make a koina, you can make a brocha for him. But how does it help? Because he has to also not eat meat during the week and not eat wine, not drink wine during the week and everything else. Because he's a Yehiel Chinuch for Tisha B'Av for the 9 days as well. Does everyone hear the Shaila? How does it help? If the kid's a Yehiel Chinuch and he has to make brochas, so he also has to be aware that Tisha B'Av's coming up. So how does it help to give him the wine? Everyone hears? So the Mishnah Berura has a juggling act. He says, well, we're talking about a kid who is Yehiel Chinuch in terms of brochas. Let's say he's 5, 6 years old. But not Yehiel Chinuch in terms of Ovelus for the Beis HaMikdosh. It's a bit tricky. It's a bit of a tricky one, I have to be honest, to kind of find that kid. And then once you say that, then why don't we go on and say, so let him not have, or her, not have to keep all the minhagim during the 9 days. If he's allowed to drink grape juice, and, or if he's allowed to drink wine and I'm not, so then let him also, let the kid also eat meat and drink wine during the leading up to it. If it's mutter, it's mutter. Does everyone see the problem? So therefore, the point is concerned, the Mishnah Berurah says, we're only going to be soimich on this heter of the kid drinking the wine when it's a mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah, so he should do like everyone else. Okay, I'll just finish with the last one. The Aruch HaShulchan says, which I think is the most, I mean not I think, which I would have thought would be the most easy, simplistic idea, is use a Chama Medina. Meaning like this, Chazal instituted that any time you're chayav to use wine for a mitzvah, so you can use a Chama Medina. You can use whiskey, if it's, it may be a big amount, small amount, different minhagim. You can use beer. And why not use that one? There's no issur of having that during the 9 days. So why not use, or during the week of Tisha B'Av? So why not use that? That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. However, it seems that many of the modern poskim are not saying like that. The only time, just as a riddle, the last point, what's the only time in you see that you should the chatchila use a Chama Medina for Havdalah? Anyone got it in the room? When? Where did you say that? Excellent. On Moitzi Pesach, the Ramah brings, I think based on the Vilna Goyen as well, that, well not based, but I think they both bring it, that since you've missed beer so much and you're kretching for a beer, not, he doesn't use that exact words, therefore you should have a beer on Moitzi Shabbos when Pesach goes out, because there it's chobiv to you, it's very important to you. So it's interesting they don't bring it here. What I would say here, the difference is what? By Pesach, what makes the Chama Medina L'Chatchila over wine is the fact that I want it so much. Here, it's not that I want the... What makes the beer over wine is that I want it so much. Whereas here, it's not so much that I want the beer. I'm just doing it because I'm not allowed to have the wine. So it could be there's a difference there. The Chama Medina is not going to be as L'Chatchila. So therefore, that's maybe why it's not brought. The last Eitzah, which I also... is interesting. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, they bring in his name to use grape juice. It's an interesting one. I'll tell you, that's an interesting svara why. Why can't you have wine during the 9 days or the week of Tisha B'Av your Sephardi? Why, sorry? Smeach. It makes you happy. Grape juice, unless it's cold kedem, no. Grape juice doesn't really give the same simcha. Right? So therefore, he says you can tick both boxes. One, you're using a hagofen. Many poiskim hold it's as good as wine. And therefore, it's not going to be sameach aleiv. Therefore, there's no problem at all. So with regards to Havdalah, you've got either use wine, which is many poiskim say that, including the Chazanish, Shulchan Aruch. Others say to give it to a child, which we said might be slightly problematic. Others say a Chama Medina. Others say grape juice. I think whatever you do, you've got what to be soimichon. Good Chodesh.